Oh, here we are, here to party sports with your host, Hunter McIntyre, and our guest today, Michael Sandbatch.
Did you legally change your name to Sandbitch?
Yeah, just for this show.
You know, the first thing I asked, the first question I put down here is, I said, why did your parents name you after a girl? Why would they name a handsome man like you, Michelle?
I don't know, mate. I don't know. I just like the name Sandy. Sandy works for me.
Have you ever heard that song, A Boy Named Sue, by Johnny Cash?
No.
Yeah, so it ended up being this song about a boy named Sue. His father names him Sue, and he spends his entire life trying to chase down his dad, find where he's at, and kill him for naming him after a girl. And because of that, it ended up, because he named him a girl, it made him like the toughest guy out there. And that was like the gift that he was giving his son. And he still wanted to shoot his dad down at the end. But it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. And I can understand if your parents wanted to do that for you.
Don't know, mate. I honestly don't know why.
I figure we just start out with the biggest pink elephant in the room. Why do you think people assume that we didn't like each other? Why did you maybe not like me, or maybe why did I not like you in the beginning?
maybe because I think it was Amsterdam. The night before Amsterdam, you said something like, probably on this show, I think, like, little Tim Weenish lives at home with his mum and dad, and Michelle Sandbitch have got no chance of beating our record. I think it went down somewhere like that, Hunter.
That's something I would say. And I mean, listen, you have to understand, in my defense here, I wouldn't talk about you if I didn't care about you. There's some people in this entire sport that have never even, their names have never come out of my mouth before. If I'm talking about you, it means that I have some kind of care for you. It means that I am interested, I care, and I find it to be endearing to talk shit about people. You know, most of the girls that I end up dating end up separating from me because I talk so much shit to them. It's like, no, I love you. And that's what I'm showing you, and they can't take the heat. But I think trash talk's fun. It's special.
I love trash talk. I do love trash talk. And now that we've broken the ice and like we're bros, then oh my god, we don't ever talk normal now. Everything we talk about is trash talk, and that, I love it.
Yeah, it's a healthy way to go. Out of curiosity, where are you right now? What time is it there?
So I'm in Doha, Qatar, and it is 6 p.m.
Tell us about the transition from being a British boy living way up there in the Highlands, and now you are in the desert. What was that like?
Be completely honest, it has not been easy at all. I've had a few wobbles along the way. The reason we did it, because I think we fancied a change, it was a job offer, and I'm quite spontaneous, so we just sort of did it. Literally, we sold everything, packed our bags in the space of like a month and came out. But I arrived July 28th, and it was like 48 degrees. I've never been in heat above 40. So, like, trying to adjust to that heat, trying to adjust to a new country and, like, a culture that I wasn't used to. And, yeah, it's not been – it's been really hard, actually. I got – because of the heat and that, because I was training outside, I kept getting, like, these infections from, like, sweating that I've never had before. So I was at the doctor's, like
– You kept on getting blood?
Yeah, I was getting like imbatigo. Have you heard of that?
Oh, with your skin.
Yeah, skin problems. So because I get that.
Literally will sweat so bad. I think I just naturally have sensitive skin, but I'll sweat so bad, especially when we were doing Ironman training this summer. Like my skin just completely went in the dumps, dude, and it's crazy. Like, I can only imagine what you're going through right now. Like, I specifically do not I don't fuck around. I don't go anywhere where it's too hot. I spend most of my days inside in the summertime, actually.
Yeah, so that really hit me hard, because like I went from UK weather shit to here, and it was like touching 50 degrees some days. You couldn't even go outside. So I was getting up at 4 a.m. and I was trying to run, and like anyway, I got this imbatigo, got this skin infection on my face, up my nose, and I've been, like I say, I've been to the hospital 3 or 4 times on antibiotics. I've had time off work because of it. I nearly left because of it, because like the third time it came back, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I need to train, but like I can't just train inside all the time. So, yeah, the pain? Training. Sorry.
Is it like a rash? Is it painful?
To where? No, it's not painful. It's just itchy, but it looks so bad. It was like a scab on my face and up my nostrils. It was weird, under my armpits and like even between my anaconda. Do you know what I mean? Down below.
Nice.
Just the chafage.
And then, you got that scabby dick.
Yeah, I'm really putting people off me now, but it's the truth, and it's just bad. So I had that to deal with, and then yeah, like I've got a little son, but I'm like trying to find a nanny and daycare, and like my wife. It's just been quite hard. But there are moments, yeah, like there are moments where it's amazing, but then there have been some really hard times. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I think this is interesting, and you're one of the people that I could ask this, because you seem to have a pretty professional career, and you know, doesn't seem like your life's in shambles. Now you're trying to live this divide.
Yeah.
You are probably top 3, top 5 at any given time, best guys in the world at our sport. You probably had some of the most impressive performances in history. So like you're right on the verge of being on the podium at every, you should have been on the podium world championships last year. It was my belief. Not to say that the people that were on there didn't deserve to be there, but you had that range. And you got to make this decision where High Rocks, I bet you probably last year you made less than $10,000 doing High Rocks. And the amount of commitment that it takes to even be at that range right there is crazy. You're talking about waking up at 4 a.m., you're running until you got rashes on your cock, and you're doing things that are so far and above the ask of a normal human being, and you've got a family and you've got a job. And I'm assuming like, you know, this job actually plays a factor into your life. Like if you quit it tomorrow, you probably couldn't live the way that you're living right now. No. Unless you're privately a billionaire that I don't know about, which would be dope. It'd be so dope if you're like Batman. So when you decided that you were going to go deeper and deeper down this rabbit hole, like doing High Rocks, like, is there been points where you wanted to quit? Cause I honestly thought when you moved out to Doha that you had quit, and I understood it. I was like, I get it. Homeboy had like a really banging good year. Didn't do great at world championships. Didn't get the paycheck that he probably wanted, and he quit. And I was like, that makes sense. Like, have you considered that at all? Or are you passionate about? I like that.
Yeah, no, I was not quitting. No chance. I can't. No, the plan was to move out here. We planned the whole move to be just after the World Championship. So this whole move was planned to sort of navigate the off season. So yeah, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to have a month off or something after the High Rocks World Champs. And then, we went on holiday to the south of France for 2 weeks, and then we had a month to pack our bags and get over here. So like I allowed myself 2 or 3 months of obviously just get over here, training not being ideal and things like that. And then I'd mapped the whole season out. So I was like training hard, and everything was going okay. But then I hit these speed bumps where it's like this skin infection, and I had issues at work, and then and then back to the hospital. And no, there was no sign of me quitting whatsoever. I was hungover. So, yeah.
What's that like convincing your wife that going to the gym at this level every single day with this little payoff is worth your time? Is she cool with it?
Yes, she's very supportive. There's no doubt about it. I do feel sorry for her because our life is run around me and High Rocks. So, She's supportive, and she does back me 100%, to be fair. So I couldn't do it without her. So she is very supportive, yeah.
It is cool. When I ever watch, like the documentaries of, like, typically endurance sports, because it ends up being so much more of a negotiation of, like, time and finances. Even if you watch, like, even Alex Honnold when he was doing that big rock climb, there's always, like, this female partner who's sitting there and kind of putting pieces together on the sidelines, making things happen. Maybe she's in, like, the support van driving up to the next spot full of snacks and drinks and gear for you to change out of. And it's impressive. Like, those partners are always a really impressive part of the story. And I remember you telling me when we were hanging out in Stockholm that your wife was the one who was, like, pushing you to get these workouts done, and that she was your real coach. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, she's watched every single race, obviously. Like I said on the interview, she knows where I struggle and she knows what I need to work on. And yeah, she always seems to, like, really, she programs certain workouts for me where she's like, no, you need to do this. And I'm like, okay, but I don't want to do that. She's like, no, you need to do it. And then I get to the workout and I'm like the workout is just beautiful. Like, the whole thing flows nicely. Like, it's just enough intensity, the volume's right, the stimulus is right. And I'm like, how the hell do you do it? Well, yeah, she's really supportive about that. It's great.
A lot of my competitors' wives don't like me. Does your wife not like me?
I think she does like you. I think you're like a unicorn. You're very unique. Marmite, I think. You either love you or hate you. And I think she's in the love group for sure.
All right, here we go. So I was wondering, I was like, is that why you didn't come to training camp? Because your wife didn't let you? Why didn't you end up coming out to training camp? What happened?
What was the reason again? Because when did we say again? Was it March?
We were supposed to do January 5th until the 15th or 18th. And you guys were like, you and Tim were all like, yeah, let's do it. And then you guys didn't show up.
Yeah, because it's a 17-hour direct flight for me from here. So it's 11-hour time difference. So I thought, it's a day travel. It's going to be at least a day or two adjusting. Then we're going to be in for at least 10 days, 2 weeks. Then it's day back travel, at least a day or two adjusting. It's going to wipe me out for like 3 weeks. And I've got Vienna coming up. I'm planning on doing Washington. And then I'm going skiing in France straight after Washington. So I'm flying directly from Washington, D.C. to Geneva. And I'm skiing in the Alps for a week. And I'm just like the money too, like the money, the time off work, it was just all a bit too much.
Dude, do you guys remember that scene in the movie Predator where, like, all the guys end up starting to come together? And, like, you know, they've all got their own thing. They've got their own special gun and they're going into the jungle. That could have been us. None of those guys were there based on convenience. They all met up in the jungle and they had a mission to do. And that's what it was supposed to be. That's what it was supposed to be. And you broke my heart.
Tim really wanted to go and do it. And so did I. But I just couldn't logistically see how it was going to work. Like, I would not have been working for nearly 3 months with the races. And if you'd have thrown Manchester in as well, which you have done, I just might as well have just quit my job.
That's what I'm trying to get you to do. That's what I'm trying to get you to do.
I'd love to.
I'm just trying to convince you to quit your job. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I have a really hard time finding training partners. I have a really hard time getting any of the people together in this sport. Like, I've been trying to set up training camps and bringing us together kind of in this Tour de France style fashion where we all do like big stints of training. And for some reason, everybody kind of fucks off. I think I'm going to get a house in, Switzerland or France for the last 6 weeks before World Championship. So maybe you call out sick to work.
Oh yes. You're going to do that. Okay. Wow. That'd be cool. So I have booked a 4-week block off for this race, for the niche race. So yeah, that could definitely happen.
You're qualified, correct? You took...
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in, baby.
You took fourth?
Third? Got overtaken by
Bo got you with those 100 wall balls, dude. Mm-hmm. Bo was a savage, dude. He's got that turbo ass. He just went there and went full bore.
I know, man. I know. But anyway, so it's good.
So there's a lot of curiosities I got here because I honestly don't even know. What was your background? Like, where did you grow up and how did you end up? Like, obviously, most of us are probably handed a soccer ball as kids or given a pair of running shoes or a tennis racket. Like, what was your thing when you were a kid?
Soccer, football. So, yeah, played football nonstop, really, from, 4 or 5, right up until 23. So, basically, all the time. It was basically football. And then in high school and primary, it was athletics and cross-country. So, I was always, the fastest on the football team. I was the fittest and the fastest normally on the football teams I was in. So I played football to 23. And then I lost my dad when I was 23, and he pushed me so hard with the football side of things. And then, since I lost him, I never kicked a ball again since then. So I sort of obviously didn't do much for a couple of years. Just went out, got drunk, and then just rediscovered fitness again and sort of dabbled in the type of bodybuilding type scene. Then I got into the CrossFit type scene, and I spent about 3 years doing CrossFit until I got kicked out of my local CrossFit gym. That's another story.
Come on, tell us about that.
To this day, I don't actually know the reason. I just got an email one morning saying, your membership's been cancelled with immediate effect for no explanation. Yeah, the strangest thing ever.
What was the name of the gym?
Wrexham CrossFit.
Wrexham?
Yeah, Wrexham CrossFit.
Is there anything you want to say? Because now that you have this platform, you want to just let anything out right now?
No. The guy definitely knows my feelings towards him, for sure. But he never gave me an explanation.
What's his name?
Well, that was Paul Sherd.
Paul Sherd?
Yeah, Paul Sherd or Paul Sherd. Yeah.
Maybe we can get this audio clip. I just want Paul Sherd, if you're out there, listen. I just want you to know you can suck it.
Love that. So, yeah, my CrossFit career ended then. And then I set up a home gym. So then I just used to train on my own in the gym and do some running. And then I discovered High Rocks in 2021. Yeah, that's that.
Was your dad the main driving force for most of your athletic stuff? Or was he just a guy who was hanging around?
Yeah, when I look back, at the time I didn't realize it. But yeah, there's no doubt. He was like, I love the fact he was pushy, but he was so pushy with sports. Every single night after I played football, he'd be in the back garden, cleaning my boots, washing them, drying them, putting dubbing on them, then just lining them up. He was like, I'd probably say obsessed with football, especially. He was definitely pushing me for sure. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, dude, it's interesting, my dad didn't really care, but he was way over the top about it. Like, if he ever did show up and start caring, he was over the top. Otherwise, he could care less. But if I ran a race, he's like, why didn't you win? And I'm like, what do you mean? I tried. He goes, he's just like, yeah, but you could have won. And he would make me run in front of his car. Like, he was either all in or all out. It was like a light switch. There was no other function in between. There was no dimmer. It was just on or off. And I'm glad that my dad's still around. He's somebody where if I'm about to go race, he doesn't really have any advice. He just, he's like, why? You don't have any other reason other than winning. He's like, don't go if you're not going to win. Don't fuck it up. That's it. Those are my only advices that he gives me. But I'm lucky. I have a pretty focal point in my family. So,
yeah.
With you, I feel like most of the dudes, honestly, in High Rocks kind of had that career. Like, if you look at Ryan Kent, he was a good college runner, and then he just decided to go drink beer and be a ski lift guy for years in ski country towns all around the country. Bye. If you look at – trying to think of another person that has an interesting story like that. Like, even Megan Jacoby. Like, Megan was a good runner – but then she like got into bodybuilding and powerlifting for a while. And then all of a sudden she decided she wanted to do sport again. I can't tell if everybody in our sport like needed this kind of bandwidth of opportunity to take some time off than to have a higher focal point in their late 20s and early 30s. Or if we're all just like really dog shit athletes and not enough good athletes have come into High Rocks yet. And if we're going to get crushed.
I quite often think that. I don't know. Like, I quite often think, like, oh, I thought, like, this season, like, yeah, I've had my time. Like, High Rocks is going to get bigger. It's going all over the world. There's going to be some monsters out there that are just going to get that. And then, yeah, that one part of your mind is thinking that. And, yeah, I'm not part of that thought, you know. I said to myself, well, I'm going to give it my all, but I might not even be here. But, you know, there's a few good athletes showing up, but there's no really, not a big group of new killers in there, is there?
Yeah. No, like, it's interesting. I think because obstacle course racing is dying, a lot of these people with big freaky engines are coming over. And obstacle course racers were never the guys who were the best runners. They were just really, really good runners who had a little bit of extra upper body strength or a little extra leg strength. They were like on the cross country team and the wrestling team, or on the cross country team and on the football team. They weren't just like all in runners. And you're noticing, like, with Ryland, Ryland was a good cyclist, and there he's gone.
Wow. He was having very, very shaky connection.
Yeah. I just took it for what it was. I'm always surprised when people end up coming on our show, and it's, like, the first time that they've ever – I don't think it's the first time they've ever done a podcast, but –
Oh shit!
Nope, he's gone again.
I missed 30 seconds.
What's going on here?
We were just talking about how amazing your connection service is.
Yeah. Do you want for Christmas maybe that I buy you like an iPad or a computer and an internet connection?
Yeah. Yes, please. Ryland, you said about Ryland, and then it cut out.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, Ryland's an interesting person. He was in cycling, then he got into obstacle course racing, and now he's getting into this sport. And it's like he had a pedigree beforehand.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was a chump in any of these things. Like, he was very successful in obstacle racing, and I think he was successful in biking. But he's had a really good transfer. But then if you look at, like, VJ Jones, VJ has won the 3K and been very competitive in obstacle racing for a long time, but he's having a really, really hard time kind of coming in and breaking into the top 15. He just can't do it. And then you got somebody like Rich Ryan, where I think he might have qualified. Did he qualify for Worlds again?
No.
Well, Rich Ryan is like a 14-minute 5K guy, and he has over 400-pound deadlift, but he's on the back cusp of the Elite 15. He's another interesting character because he could whoop my ass in a 5K, 10K, any K. He'd whoop the shit out of me. And then you got somebody like Bo, I don't think has ever been exceptional at everything. He's just like had this high capacity in a lot of things. Like, he's a CrossFit instructor, and he likes to run, and he ended up having, like, you know, this really crazy effort, and he did 100 wall balls unbroken at the end. Like, that's impressive. That's something I haven't even done yet. And I don't even know what the fuck Ronkovich does. Like, Ronkovich has just been this like across the board, even guy. And I think he does swimming and some other stuff. So everybody seems to be like a non-specific character, and they're good.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. The thing I'm scared of is if cross country skiers get involved in this sport, then we all probably need to like move back in with our parents. They'll be a talented group. So in all your success, like, obviously you made the transition. When was the first time you found out about High Rocks?
J-Fit, James Muscat, he messaged me, I think, and I saw on his Instagram that he did the London one. I think you were there on that. He did the doubles, didn't you, with Hogan?
Yeah, way back.
So the first, London one, he was at. I just saw
like
on Instagram.
DM on Grindr or something.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. And you lost my train of thought now. I was in Hull at the time, working on a 6-month project. And then I came back and I just secured a new contract, but working from home. So then I thought, okay, so I went to the Birmingham one. I just thought, I'm going to sign up for it. And like, I hadn't done any training. I'd been in Hull, working 12-hour days, 7 days a week, drinking beer, just not doing much. I signed up to the Birmingham one. I got like a 69 and came second behind Martin Michaelis. And I was like, how the hell have I just done that? But I really liked it. So I thought, all right, I'm going to knuckle down. And yeah, and that's when I discovered it.
Now, running behind a man like Martin, was he taking pictures of himself the whole time?
I think I was in a different wave. But yeah, he was the tan 7-foot German hunk. Yeah.
I love Martin. Yeah. My favorite thing is if you go look at all of Martin's pictures, he's always up on his toes.
Is he?
Yeah, go to his Instagram right now. If anybody's looking, go look at Martin and start going through his pictures. He's up on his toes. He does like a little up pose. And
What's Martin's last name?
Michaelis. Bring it up on Instagram. Let's get it. This is going to be so much fun. He's going to kill me. But, oh, dude. Like, absolutely amazing.
Oof. He doesn't need to be up on his toes. He's like 6 foot. He's like 6 foot six, is he? Seven.
Did you find him? Did you find him, Ryan?
Yeah.
Martin Michael. Yep, there he is, dude. The first picture pinned. He's up on one of his toes. Bring it up. This is so good. He always does it. Oh God, I'm gonna piss my pants. See, look at the picture grid. Go to the picture grid, top left. Watch. Go in there, enhance. Look, he's up on his toes. You see that? Go to the next one. Go to another image. You got to keep on going.
He's a stud. He's an absolute stud.
He's a freak, dude. The fact that he's able to run at the pace that he does and the size that he does. Because I remember a couple years ago, the year that I had my bad show at World Championships.
Yeah.
I wrote like heaviest guy on the start line, and I posted a picture on my scale at 215. And
nope. he was heavier,
and I was like, all right, he's
about 100. I asked him at the last race, he's about 104 kilos.
I mean, he's taller than me by about 2 or 3 inches, and
easy,
he's got a thick body, all that, man.
Yeah, three big legs, the whole package.
Have you guys gotten suckered into rucking? Literally,
no.
In the United States, if you have an Instagram page and you're self-conscious about yourself, you post pictures of you wearing backpacks full of weight in it, marching around with a black and white filter.
No. Hey, Dylan Scott does a lot of rucking, doesn't he?
Who? Dylan Scott's an idiot.
Yeah.
Dylan Scott. I don't understand how that guy trains. I mean, I say that in the nicest way possible. If I see men, here's the two things that I know that you're a pussy. If I see a guy show up with a clean pair of shoes to a workout or a race, I'm like, I'm going to prison beat. I'm just going to wreck you. Any man with a clean pair of shoes I know is a pussy. The second thing is, if I see a man posting videos of him rucking with a bunch of other guys in the woods, I know that he's a pussy. I'm like, listen, real athletes run. I'm tired of you fuckers all putting rocks and weight plates in your backpacks thinking that that's going to make a difference. If you show up to anything with me competitively, I will twist you the fuck up. It is going to be the worst day of your life. And for some reason, and then all of a sudden there's this subculture of dudes that want to get into high rocks and then recognize that they're going to get their fucking clock clean. So they start going into the go ruck category. Don't make me put a weight vest on and show you what a real man looks like if I have to go into that category and put a high water marker down. Oh, rucking drives me crazy. Rucking drives me crazy.
I can see. You got passionate then.
Oh, of course I got passionate. I mean, there's a whole – I don't have anything against the GoRuck company, but there's a whole industry now where they've convinced a bunch of people to buy $300 backpacks with steel plates and start marching around outside. I'm like, you idiots. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a hater. I'm a big-time hater. Everybody should know that about me by now. If I get an idea and it's not mine, get ready to get creamed. Yeah. There you go. He's up on his toe. Go back to that toe pose. Let me see it. Let me see it. Oh, God. Look, there he is. Walking. You see that toe?
It's a video. So I think a lot of these are he's just walking, and then they take him a picture posing. There's one back here. Here you go again.
Oh. There's that toe.
There was a toe back
God,
here.
God, you're getting me all revved up.
Here you go. Oh, there's a toe.
There we go. Look at that toe right there.
He's killing it.
Listen. I'm telling you right now, dude, if you want to learn how to pick up pics and get paid for taking pictures, you got to be on the toe. There you are. Look at that little back toe right there. That's not wrong.
One more. This is the last one.
Hey, there we go. There we go. Oh, handsome devil. You know what's interesting? It's mostly dudes that are commenting on his picture. You could be the sexiest dude on the planet and think that it's going to rake in a lot of butt cheek. It's not butt cheek. It's dude cheek that you're going to get. That's why these girls who have like sexy bodies on Instagram get so much attention, because it's dudes giving them all this love. And when I post a picture, it's only dudes. I've started to recognize that women are selfish. They don't give a damn about anybody else except for themselves. Dudes are just spreading love all around the world. Like if you post
a
picture,
I'm like, dude.
I'm like, great work, sandwich. I love your shit. And chicks don't comment. They don't. They keep it to themselves. They're just they're selfish as all hell.
In the head. They take it to the bedroom and it stays in their head.
Oh, they just set up the video camera doing a deadlift or a bicep workout with their ass hanging out. And then somebody walks in front of the camera and then they just blow up like, dude, I'm filming. Yeah, it's a gym. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I have I have a group of girlfriends that I'll just DM on the internet. They're friends of mine that are girls. And anytime they post one of these reels of them doing work, I post that emoji of the box with the cheese underneath it, the trap. And I tell them they're all thirst traps. I'm like, dude, what is with you guys? Like, keep your butt out. Like, just try to impress me for a week without your butt. Oh, wait, what's that? You've got nothing else to talk about or post about unless your butt's in the frame. I'm like, congratulations. Did you guys see that story that I posted on my Instagram yesterday about the influencers?
No.
Go to my stories real quick. You're going to love this. This is hysterical. This one right here.
Oh. They're setting up the camera.
This is just them pretending to be girls.
This is what it takes to work. Let's see.
Yeah, go to the story. This will be great. Oh, yeah. His wife.
Next one,
right here. See if you can turn the
great
audio
picture.
Up.
When you take the
is it frozen?
Chance.
Come on, baby.
When you take the chance to go after your dreams, when you take the risk, sure you may fail, but what if you fly? What if you succeed? What if you do greater than you could have ever imagined? What if you...
That's every chick on the internet with a freaking fitness page.
When you take the chance to go after your dreams.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The arse. Everything's the arse.
Shout out to all the kings out there for spreading love around, dude. I love liking all my friends' pictures and commenting. It's because I love y'all. Chicks, you need to level up and do a better job and support your friends. So let's get into real time. Let's focus on real time. What are some of the ambitions this year? Because I think you had a great start. I thought you were retired, and then you came out of retirement and really laid down the hammer in Stockholm against a very aggressively fit field. You got a new PR, and you had a world record and also another really substantial sub-55-minute time by Ronkovic. And – like what are the goals this year? What do you got locked in?
The goals right now, I suppose. I'd love to I'd love to win. I've not won a race in a while, Hunter. My last race I won was Berlin, where I got 58.40 something, and that was like October last 2023. So I just want to win a race. I'd love to win a race, and if that could be a major, then so you know, even better. But I just want to win a race.
Well, let's talk about that. So the next race that you're going to
DC
is going to be Vienna.
Vienna.
And Vienna. I know that you got Ronkovich coming in, and he's about 2 minutes ahead of you right now. And I think you've also got Kent, who's about a minute and a half ahead of you right now. Minute and a quarter. And then I don't know if Ryland's racing. Do you think that you put the work in that's necessary to pull off that a minute and a half plus?
Right now, no.
That's a fair answer. It's a fair answer.
Right now, no. But if I get a good start with me, I've got a chance because I have been working on the back end of the race. And that was the best war ball performance I've ever done in Stockholm. I was like, that might not be amazing to anyone else, but I got like a 4.03, I think. And I got 50 unbroken. So for me, like, that's good. And all I've been working on is that and lunges. But I have just twisted my ankle, as I told you the other day. So I've not been able to run for 9 days.
That's all right, dude. I never run. You know, in reality, like I tell people this all the time that I coach. I'm like, stop focusing on the entirety of the race. I was like, show me one or two things you're going to improve this next race and just focus on that. And it will, I swear to you, it will bring everything else up. Like if you just like focus right now for the next 8 weeks on your skier time for a 5K time trial, let's say you did a 20. If you were able to bring that thing down to a 19 somehow, have a 5% gain, dude, everything else would go up. And everybody's like, okay, I'm doing burpees, I'm doing lunges, I'm doing wall balls. And then what ends up happening is they bring, let's just say, like 5 seconds off their wall balls, 5 seconds off their lunges, 5 seconds off their ski erg. And that's if they're lucky. A lot of the time what ends up happening with these people is they get all mentally fucked up in the head and they're self-conscious about 8 different things. And then they give them 8 reasons to freak the fuck out on race day. Where for me... I'm like, I'm just going to focus on this run and I'm just going to focus on lunges right now. And like, that's a focal point for the next, you know, 8 weeks. Boys, you got to give me 30 seconds. I got to go piss. You know, I do this every time.
I think this is good for 30 second station identification. So our sponsor is Go Brewing. It is a non-alcoholic brewing. It's helping us get through this dry January. Joe, the owner and everything, sent us all a mixed variety pack of Go Brewing, and it's really great. Ryan's turn. Yeah, this is where the viewership drops down. But, you know, you get back, you want an actual taste. I've had other non-alcoholic brewing. There's a green can that's out there that, you know, hypes up that they're non-alcoholic brewing, but there's no taste. So you want to get something that actually has taste. I like IPAs, and I haven't found a brewing company that is non-alcoholic that tastes like a freaking IPA that you don't want to have like 300, 400 calories drinking an IPA. That one, you get the taste, and two, not the crazy calories. Like I'm choosing Go Brewing. And yes, we had the free pack sent to us, but like, let's say they no longer want to send us a free pack. Like I will still drink Go Brewing just because like the taste is there and that's what I'm going after.
I drink a lot of non-alcoholic beer in the off season. I'll be straight up with you guys. I've got two things I want to say. One,
it may.
I got a confession. I drank this weekend unintentionally. Mm. Let's just be honest. I was supposed to have a dry January and we were hanging out with Kyle and I lost a bet. I said, we had the dog toy. The dog was going freaking nuts. And I was like, I have to distract this dog because we were trying to pack for his 100-miler. And I'm throwing the dog toy and I'm trying to get it inside of this baby carriage that he has. And I was like, the first person to get it in doesn't have to shotgun a beer. I was convinced it was going to be me. I swear to you. And I lost and I had to shotgun a beer. So I've already screwed up dry January.
Only one beer.
It was only one. Okay. Listen, and I have to go to Miami this next weekend, so that's going to be really tough. But that being said, I got home last night. I had another go brewing. I like it. I'm enjoying myself. I'm trying to get my life in order. If you guys look over here, if you look very closely, it says,
oh, the sticky notes.
You are fat, 192. I'm trying to get down to 192 pounds. I'm trying to cut out alcohol. I'm trying to cut out all of these bad things.
Me mostly, too.
Mostly women. But it's been challenging for me, dude.
I'd like to just speak on something because we did a side by side of you, Hunter. You and was it Anasu?
Yeah,
Anasu. And the side by side was you and Anasu's station times and run times, and then it was Michael Sandbatch's and Tim Winish's station time and run time. And the difference between the actual station, like you guys were matched up within a second or two of each station, but what it really came down to was the rock zone. So you guys are you know, going back and forth and possibly. You guys are the top if, you know, going through the doubles division. And it's really not coming down to stations. You guys are matched up within a second of each other. So really it's these rock zones. So I feel like no matter what, like if you guys are going to do this, you guys could possibly beat it. But I think it would come down to just showing up together, you and whoever else, maybe Anasu and then Michael, if, you know, later, you know, beefing up like a hyping up like a competition. But I think it would really come down to the size of the rock zone that would be the true winner, because that's what it's looking like it's coming down to for each of these events.
That's why I say horses, not courses. Like it's really hard to decide at these courses at this point where who's the champion.
Yeah.
It's tough. And it's like, yeah, you know, you've held a world record and I've held world records, and it's like, yeah, it's a really, really, really good time, but until you beat that person really face to face, it
like on the same
course. You never know. Yeah, on the same day as well.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Yeah, there's people like Noel Radigan, who's just these these hyper obsessed people with opinions of everything. There is what High Rocks tells you is what's going on, and then there's what's really going on, which is, I think it's very hard for them at this point to get everything concise in the exact distance course to course. That's truly my belief. And I've been doing this longer than anybody else. And let me tell you, you know, the difference between a course that's a little bit longer and not, and it's at least my opinion.
You go to each one of these cities and each city has their own like event hall. And then depending upon the size of that event hall, yes, it's going to hold everything, you know, all the stations, but then you got to break down that rock zone to get to from one side to the other. And the event hall,
like there's something like, you know, the skier station. So I've got races where they line them up only on one side. So then that ends up being a massive long station. Some high rocks, they double them up. So it's like a shorter one. So then, you know what I mean by that? So like,
it makes a huge difference, dude. When we did Birmingham, it was like a half an hour long run. Mm-hmm. It was a really, really long run to get done with that course. So let's talk about, I want to continue on the flow that I was going here. Like, how did you end up getting so good at what you're doing? Do you have a coach? Is there a focal point? Or did you just have some raw talent that made you exceptional at this without any direction?
So it was raw talent. I think it's raw talent, yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, I then got a coach. So after Las Vegas, I needed some strength. So then I got a strength coach, Ryan Gibney. I've been with him now over 18 months. So he's my strength coach. He's an ex international rugby performance coach. So he's very good, sort of conjugate West Side barbell type training. So I do a lot of heavy lifts with him, and then I've also got a running coach. I've got a running coach out here. So I've just changed my running coach to Charlie Grice, Olympian for UK, 1500 meter guy. He lives about. Can you see that?
Yeah,
he lives about eight towers down there. Okay, so I'm going to track with him tomorrow.
And yeah, so I'm going to go train with him. So yeah, so I've got him as a run coach now. So that's quite cool.
Dude, let's just get some raw numbers out here. Like, what's your bench? That's important to me. I want to know.
Probably 120.
Milligram.
You got that little bird chest. You got that small baby bird chest.
Yeah.
What about your squat? What's your squat? Full depth, butt to the ground.
Yeah. You know what? I haven't done a conventional squat in about 18 months. I just box squat now. All I do is box squat. It's very hard for me to say. I don't know.
All right, what's your box squat at? Come on, what's your box squat?
200. To an 18-inch box, probably 2. I'll have to ask my coach. I forgot. Because I have chain on too, so you have to halve the chain weight, don't you? I don't know. It's 200 something.
Big. All right. What about your deadlift?
I reckon my deadlift's probably 210.
Spicy.
Yeah. Probably. I've got long arms.
Are you good? Are you good with like calisthenics? You got a heavy pull up or any of that kind of stuff, or you got little arms?
Yeah. I've got a heavy pull up. I've done 60 kilo pull up. I've got a video of that.
That's good.
I've got a video of that one. I just done my VO2 max test about 3 months ago. I got 70.1.
That's really good.
I just done a lactate test 2 weeks ago. So I'm starting to get some numbers to work with. So yeah, some numbers.
You're fit as all hell, dude. You're fit, dude. See, those are really, really substantial numbers. Like I've done a lot of testing with OCR athletes and they didn't have numbers as good as that. Like really, really high level runners, and you've got better scores than them. Let's get down to some of the running times. Like, what's a good 1500 meter for you?
This is what I don't know. I don't ever do a 5 or 10K time trial. Really, I really should get some numbers down. There are actually some races.
How do you base what your zones are then? Like to go out and, hey, I'm going to do an easy pace today. I'm going to do a hard pace. If you don't have to go off of.
I do. I've just had my lactate test done. So I know exactly what speed I'm doing, what zones at. So I can't remember off the top of my head, but if I'm doing sort of tempo running is 3:20 to 3 minutes. That's what I should be doing tempo at per pace per kilometer. Steady. I forgot the paces. And my running, what I do running wise is probably 3 standalone runs a week. It's usually one sort of easy long run, a second tempo type run, like six minute blocks, 8 minute blocks, and then I'll do like an interval type 1K repeats or 400 repeats or a bit of both, something like that.
Out of curiosity, if we were going to do a 10K, I want you to list everybody in order right now.
Oh, gosh.
Who's going to finish? Come on, let's go. Give me at least 5 or 6 names. Who's going to win the 10K?
Okay, so the winner of the 10K, I think, would be... I don't know. Reckon Tim?
All right, you got Tim Winish at the top. More like Tim Winish. Whining little
Tim Winish. Dylan can run.
You think Dylan's going to be number 2?
No, I think Alex can run.
You think Alex Ronkovic is going to be number 2?
All right, Hunter McIntyre.
No, I want to know. I'm writing this all down. I don't have any ego. I want to see here. So you got Tim at the top.
Okay, Ryland is going to be at the top for sure.
You think Ryland's number 1?
He can run for sure,
Okay, we're going to have him be number 1. Tim's number 2?
Yeah, go Tim number 2.
Yep.
Who's the new guy, the guy that lives in Chicago that's Spanish? Paleo.
Paleo, you think he's going to be number 3?
he can run, I think. Yeah, looking at him, he can't be more than 80 kilos.
Oh, I doubt he's.
I'm trying to look at the light. I'm a big boy, like you're a big boy. But I can imagine you can still run a fast 10K, but like, I'm just trying to think of the light and fast ones. Who else is there? Tobias can do a good 10K, let's be honest. I think he's fine. He is a 10K guy, isn't he?
So you want to put Toby as number four, Sweet Toby?
Yeah, let's go for that.
All right, who's number five? Who's going to round out the top five?
I'd go you.
Oh, God, thank the Lord. The guy who wins it all finally makes it into the top five. What a dick.
No, you're probably up the list more. You're probably no. I think you're faster than Toby.
I bet you if I get down to 192 that I could beat all these guys by maybe 20 to 30 seconds in a 10K.
Hard is it for you to get to 192 and not like want to kill them? You obviously want to be 210, don't you? You're 205, 210. You're like me. My body likes to be 93 kilos. Like, for me to get to 90, I'm going to be a horrible bastard.
I mean, listen, there's two worlds that I can live in. There's the one that with peace, and there's the one with war. And I cannot live in peace unless I've gone to war, meaning that I would rather hate myself every single day than remind myself for the rest of my life that I was like 5 to 8 pounds off of my goal weight and got in the way of my race. Because I will think about that until the day that I die. There are things that I've done. Like, I think about, I should be a Spartan Race world champion. And I think about the fact that I did not put the right hydration powder in and know enough about nutrition at the time to win that race. And I ended up coming third. And that's why I ended up starting a supplement company. Like, there's levels of hate that I have for myself that will exist for the rest of my life if I don't get things done. So it will be miserable. I will sweat in my sleep. I will feel sick as a dog. I will have some vulnerability with you. I have hired this new coach, and I am training in a way that I have never trained before. And I am admittedly petrified in the way that I'm like, yeah, like, I'm in the gym doing crazy cool stuff, but it's not similar to my style of training where I have benchmarks like I did before that very clearly tell me which direction I'm going. So right now I'm in the abyss. Like, I am in the fog. I have no clue where I'm going. I have no clue what it's going to be like when I show up to race with you in Manchester, because I'm just doing any of the work.
Hunter, I think it wasn't the speed track workout. It was the day in the life of you lifting with your coach at the gym. Can you explain what the it was a T-bar, and you were pulling back, squatting, pulling back. He's like arms fully lengthed out, and you're just rocking back. And then it was you were supposed to hit between 400 and 500 pounds, or 5 and 6. What is that thing? And every pull that you do, was it just calculating, okay, this was the amount of weight, and it was a collection of weight over those six rounds of, or six pulls?
Yeah. It'd be tough for anybody to replicate this unless they had machines that were able to do it. Like, so much so that I just got a new machine for my house that are able to repeat this. But it's basically a pulley. The more you pull against it, the more that it pulls back. So it's like a one-to-one force generation. And there's a bandwidth where there's like empty power. It's almost like a whip. Like, if you go like this, whoom, it will snap back then. It will, like, boom. So you have to, like, really, really be in control of this thing. It's like riding a bull. But at this point, basically, we're on machines that are testing the power output of every single rep to the exact number of pounds or watts generated. And we are creating a maximal effort, and then we are doing sub-maximal efforts for intervals of time. Because in reality, like, besides the running metrics, I think everybody's going into the gym and they're looking at running and they're like, hey, like, I can do 10 1,000 meter runs at 320. Okay, well, that's 60% of the race. You now also have to generate power to an interval and number measure for 8 stations as well. Like, every time I touch the ski erg, I'm technically pulling at 40 pulls per minute over 3 minutes. So that's 100 and basically about 140 pulls. 130 to 140 pulls. Now, technically, you can speed that up, or you can generate more power pull. So you can either start to go up towards 50 repetitions per minute, or you could basically generate more power per push. We're focusing on generating more power per push.
Less pushes.
And if you think about, if we're doing the sled push, let's just say it's 50 steps per length. Now, let's just say that every single step that I'm generating is generating, let's just say, 0.25 meters or something like that per push, per step. Let's just say all of a sudden I'm able to increase that up to 0.3 distance meters per step. So what's going to end up happening now is I'm never going to be able to increase my leg distance. What I can increase is the amount of power output per step. And I've been telling people this for a really long time. Unless you have the equipment to do it or the team to do it with you, it's not going to make sense. But all of this sport, more so than any other sport that we've ever dealt with, can be measured by numbers. It's such an accurate rate. And if you think about it, we have 80 meters of burpee broad jumps. You can either get those repetitions done faster or cover more distance. The likelihood that I'm going to be able to cover more distance is tough because it's generating more force, or you can do the movements more efficiently, which I focus on doing. And that's what we're working on with him, is just like, hey, you're able to generate 600 pounds of force on this bar. Now you're going to hold 90% for as long as you can. Okay, you were able to, and it has to be at a certain kind of speed. Otherwise, what your body is doing is you'll start to cheat it. And if your power curve starts to go down, you got to stop the workout. And what you're doing at that point is you're just going to keep on cheating it and cheating it and cheating it to the point where you either get hurt or you're just basically doing sloppy work and it's never going to really work in a race.
So you're going right now, you're training to a point where you're going until you start to see the art, like constantly getting better, constantly putting more power output until the point of where you're seeing less power output. And then we're like, all right, we're good for the day.
Done.
We saw downhill. So now we could keep going if you kept seeing that power output go up.
And every single thing that I'm doing is down to a time-based interval. But dude, like all of my workouts are like 9 minutes long, which is crazy. Wow. It's really crazy. Like most of my workouts, I was doing like 40 minute blocks before. I was doing 2 20-minute intervals with like 5 minutes rest in between another 20 minute interval that needed to have more work done or faster the second time. So it's very unique for me. But that being said, I PR'd my mountain on my bike at like a crazy, crazy pace that I set the whole record on the mountain. In the gym, the weight that I'm moving around is heavier than it's ever been before, even when I was in CrossFit. So is he
doing your whole program? Is it?
Yeah.
Doing a lot.
I haven't let go of anybody. I haven't let anybody do that in 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So how long are you going to give it? Like,
I'm giving him until DC.
Okay. Like, and you're going to see.
I was like, dude, I understand, like, he's got a good point. I am notorious for overtraining myself because I'm always trying to set the world record. So what I do is I'll just train, like set a world record and then train past that. And then I break for like 3 or 4 weeks and I'm sweating in my sleep and I feel awful and my joints hurt. And then I recover and I pick up again and I'll have like a pretty good world championship, but I always overtrain. He's like, I don't want you peaking too early. So we're just going to keep you down here at this very low volume and really high intensity. And then I'm going to give you a little bit more and a little bit more. And then right near the end, I'm going to give you a lot. And then we're going to pull back. And that's where you're going to get, you know, he wants me to hit 50 minutes. So, you know, that being said, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
So let's talk about us. Let's talk about you and me. I believe this is the first time that Hyrox has released pro weight and doubles outside of world championships. Is that correct?
I believe so too.
And I think the world record right now is 54 minutes.
Okay, we'll kill a lot.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't understand why doubles has been low weight up until this point. And then it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I think this could be very interesting. Two big, handsome men running in circles, pushing stuff, pulling stuff, rolling around on the ground, jumping forward, and then throwing balls up in the air. This could be the greatest thing the world's ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Do you have a strategy that you're looking to do? Do you think anybody's going to come out of the woodwork and try to compete against us?
Did you say, who told me that? Is Graham and Thingy racing too?
I'm sure that they're gonna try to show up. It looks like they just commented and said that they will see us there. But last time I raced against them, I greased those bitches so hard.
Oh dear. Well, no, we need to talk about our tactics, don't we? We need to. You've obviously got your ideas, I imagine, because you've done more doubles than me.
I'm planning on picking the sled up with my teeth and dragging it.
So you've changed your sled push technique, I've noticed, recently.
Oh, the hangover top?
Yeah, yeah. You used to be like that, like me.
Yep, yep.
And I've just changed mine the last 4 weeks because I've just done some time testing and it's so much easier. And I wish someone had told me years ago.
Yeah. It depends.
It is easier.
You're bigger. You and I are bigger, so we have our bigger shoulder
girdle. You have to have longer legs and have those shoulders point because I tried to do that and it just digs into my – I don't have enough beef and I'm not tall enough. My arms hang – they ain't hanging low.
Yeah, dude. I think it's very hard. I think it's very hard for certain body types to actually accomplish that. I think it's more efficient for people like you and I to do it, but it is tough. That being said,
yeah.
You know, I've been doing the open weights for doubles recently, and I've been doing just arm over arm. So I don't know if I still have the strength to do all arms on the pro weight, but I think we should. We should try. Like, you're pretty fucking strong. I'm pretty strong. We should try to do arm over arm, even if it sucks.
Yeah.
And, like, I hate that stupid drag back thing. And we should still...
Take time.
I think what we're going to end up doing is we should end up breaking up the sleds in eighths rather than quarters. Like you take a chunk, yeah. I take a chunk, you take a chunk, I take a chunk. Because what ends up happening is like once that lactic acid fills up over the top, then there's nothing we can do. The cup's full and it's going to stay like that for a while.
What about the ski? What are we going to break the ski up? 250s or?
I think 250s is no problem. You know, 250s gives us 45 seconds rest in between each section.
Yeah.
And what I've recognized, you know, Anas came on with me and I told him to slow down. I think he was going too hard. And that's why we ended up, you know, dropping off our pace at the end. That's another kind of thing. It's like, dude, if skiing a 138 is killing you, drop it to a 140 and then like be 5 to 7 seconds faster in your next K rather than getting this stupid, oh, I'm skiing under 140 right now. Like that's what people got to really let go of their ego. And I'm hoping I would be really pumped if like Tim Winich and Ronkovich showed up. Like we should get those bitches out there. It's not like they got anything better to do with their lives. So we should get those dudes out there running against us. I would like to have a little more competition out there and we could make some really good content.
Wait, if this is the first time that, Hyrox is allowing pro weight for men's doubles, regardless of whatever time you do. Wouldn't it be a world record because nobody else has had the chance, or this is the first time they're introducing it?
No. They've had it at world championships before. They make doubles at world championships pro weight.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's another thing that we should all really work on is like the pros, at least in the beginning of this thing, is we should try to have more collaborative events. Because I think it's stupid where all of a sudden just like one pro really randomly goes to Malaga and then all of a sudden the next weekend, like half the guys are at Vienna. Like we should all just show up to one and go hard as fuck and try to get really good media and hype around it. Because this sport is still so small that there's not really media around it. We need to collaboratively work together and get things hyped up. And that's the only way that this is going to get cool. And it will bring in sponsors. It will bring in opportunities. At least my belief.
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What was I going to say? So basically, we got this going on. We're going to smash those the Brit and the no, it's not the Brit. He's Australian and the Scotch guy. We'll wreck them. Other than that, you got DC coming up. You've got Vienna coming up. Are you going to take a big chunk of time off and try to, like, where's your super block going to come in? That you obviously said to me, you're like, I want to win a race. Like, when are you going to get that done?
It's all quite close together, isn't it? So I've got, like, Vienna is literally around the corner. Vienna's what, 4 weeks away?
Yep.
And like I say, I'm by no means training like I should be right now because of my ankle. So the block will have to be after my ski holiday. So I'm doing Vienna, Washington, and then, like I say, flying from Washington to my ski trip. I'm having a week off, and then it's going to have to be then. I'm going to have to, like, knuckle down and maybe, yeah, pick a race, and I'm going to have to do.
Don't be a bitch.
I know. I am.
That's been one of your things I put in the notes here is, like, you're either Mr. Fabulous or Mr. Flop. I've seen you in really, really good form. And, you know, sports wouldn't be interesting unless stuff like that happened. Like, I've had my crashes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're really going to have to take this seriously, where it's almost like you might even have to pull out DC to get a better block. And you might. And if I don't feel the way that I want to going into DC, like, I've got no ego wrapped up in this anymore. Like, what am I going to do with $6,000? What am I going to do with another flag that says champion on it? Like, it's not going to change my life at all. But what would change my life if I showed up in shit shape and I let one of these turds beat me?
So you might pull out of Washington, maybe.
No, it's I'm not saying that I'm pulling out of Washington, but I'm giving you an honest answer where it's like one of those kind of things where if you need to look at yourself just the same way I need to have that inner reflection.
Mm, yeah.
Is going to DC attached to your ego or is it attached to your game plan?
If ego. You get what
I'm trying to say. But that's it.
Yeah.
So DC is not attached to my ego. It's attached to my game plan. And if I'm sitting there and I'm talking with my coach and stuff like that, and we're looking at stuff, we're like, hey, like, we're only showing up again to run a 52 or less. And if it's not in the cards, we're not going to show up. Because there's no point in me getting, like, I've already done a 53.22. Every single time I've raced over the past 2 years, I've gone faster than the last time.
Yeah.
Or it's been a world title. So the same thing for you. It's like you just hit a 56 what? So if you aren't going to show up somewhere and hit a 56.15 or a 55 high or even a 56.28, there's no fucking reason in showing up.
No, because, you're right. You are right.
You know, and at least in my mindset, like, you know, as a friend and as also a competitor, it seems exactly like you know what you need to do. And showing up to Vienna or DC is not going to change that. It is just going to be another page in the chapter that you're already living in. Move on to the next fucking chapter and show me some 55s and some 54s and some wins. Because we all know the Michael Sambatch that runs hard as fuck and then shows up at the end and it's a 50-50 gamble of whether or not you're going to get it or not. And you obviously got it last time, but, you know, as a friend and a competitor, I would just tell you right now, unless you can do 150 wall balls unbroken right now, don't show up to Vienna. I don't want to see your fucking face.
That is a good question. And I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to try and do that tomorrow.
Well, I mean, listen, when I was getting ready for world championships last year, I would do workouts with 200 wall balls. Why? It's double the amount that we have to do. Is there any kind of scientific reference point? No. Is there a level of confidence that comes with doing 200 wall balls? 100%.
Unbroken.
No, I didn't get unbroken, but I went, I think I did 120, 40, 40.
That's still good. Yeah. Wow. Okay. 150 unbroken, then don't show up. I like that.
And if you need help, doing that, like, a good workout to do is called a wall ball flight simulator. You do 20, 30, 40, 50, 50, 40, 30, 20. And, like, you start there and then you do 30, 40, 50, 50, 30, 40, 40, 30. And then you basically need to do three sets of, you know, basically three sets of 50. And then you need to do two sets of 75. And then you need to go for 150.
Okay.
That's for people like you're probably far beyond the original stages of that. But like the way that we program for our clients, it's not fair for us to say do three sets of 50 because most people like they might get three sets of 50 done, but it will take them 15 minutes because the amount of recovery it's necessary.
Okay. I like that.
I mean, dude, I honestly would not be giving you shit if I didn't think you were talented. There's people that ask me about training all the time and I just say, hey, listen, why don't you go have fun? And if I tell you to go have fun, that means that I don't think you've got what it takes to do anything with your life. That's a very polite way of me saying we should probably talk to somebody else or go write in your journal. But I think you do have incredible raw capacity, like a 70 VO2 max and your ability to carry strength and also race strategy means you've got a lot of talent and you're right up there to be a podium guy at world championships anytime you want. So stick it out, dude. Go do 150 wall balls unbroken. Show up to Manchester and let's set the high water mark for the pro weight for the rest of the year. And don't fucking show up to Vienna unless you're ready to goddamn crush them pansies.
If I don't get 150 unbroken wall balls, I won't be going to Vienna. How many attempts have I got?
I would honestly give yourself three.
All right, three attempts now before Vienna. If I can't do 150 unbroken, I'll just won't go.
Yeah, dude. I mean, 150 wall balls for somebody of your level of fitness should not be a challenge. The only thing that's getting in the way is your head. Because let me tell you, 100 wall balls shows up and it sucks starting at like 50 or 60. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you've got 100 to go. And it's just, the only difference is like, if you can run high 50 high rocks, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do 5 minutes straight of squats.
Yeah.
You got this, brother. I've had a really good time catching up with you, dude. Even though
you
got the shittiest connection we've ever had on here.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right, dude. I'm going to buy you a satellite for your birthday.
It's out though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty gosh darn good. Guys, I want to finish off this show. If anybody's still listening, which we still got a lot of people going on here. A couple things we got coming up. One, we got the Ultimate Engine, our 3.0 program coming out January 22nd. You already got a coach, Sandwich, but if you need, I'll send you a free membership so you can get some of the workouts and see what we do at house training. It is the best. Yeah. It gets the best results. I love it. It's the formula that I've been using, but I'm willing to adapt and go check out a new coach to bring you guys back some new information for the 4.0. But it's substantial. It's as good as it gets in the hybrid sport, Decafit, Hyrox, any of that kind of stuff. It's a great program for athletes like that. If you are skinnier than Sandwich or I, you guys should be taking Builder Strength X2. It is creatine is the most studied, verified product on the planet when it comes to sports nutrition. If you're not taking it and you're doing a sport like Hyrox, Decafit, CrossFit, almost any sport that ends up having majority-based strength endurance, which all of our sports are, you're a sucker. Don't waste your damn time. Like if I catch you sipping on a pint and not creatine, I'm going to slap it out your hand. So get some of that in your cup, guys. It's a great product. I love it. I take it every single day, and that's why I'm thicker than a Snicker. But, guys, I've been really, really having a good time with this podcast thing. I'm always so appreciative when you guys show up, listen, leave comments on the side. Jared, I'm still trying to figure out how to pronounce your name. Aisha, I love you. Victor, thanks for tuning in. And, Jeffrey, it's always good to see your face, brother. Michael, get some rest. You got 150 wall balls to do tomorrow.
Well, bro, I'll tag you and keep you updated.
All right, brother, man. It's been great to catch up. We'll see you guys soon. This is Here to Party Sports, over and out.
Peace.
Peace.